This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me in the studio is
Frida Liu.
And today we're talking about how SMEs are hiring aggressively and if that is a good thing, how they're going about it. If you'd like to get in touch with us to take part in this conversation, we are on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and also on Twitter at BFM Radio. Well, according to the most recent Brio HR Employment Index, Malaysian owners of small and medium-sized enterprises are optimistic about their future economic and business growth prospects and have been hiring aggressively. So is this the right move and how are SMEs strategizing their aggressive talent acquisition, right? Well, why are we even talking about this? Naturally, there have been a lot of eyes on the recovery of the Malaysian economy as we find ourselves entering COVID-19 endemicity, and it seems to be at least on the right track for now. According to Bank Negara Malaysia, the Malaysian economy grew by 5% in the first quarter of 2022, and this growth also reflects the job market's recovery, with the unemployment rate falling to 3.9% as compared to Q4 of 2021 when it was 4.3%. So it seems that despite concerns of an incoming recession, the labour market fundamentals are at least in place. And Malaysia's job market is actually expected to strengthen even further, underpinned by the reopening of the economy and the pickup in social activities.
Right. So Malaysia's labour market has remained firm as the jobless rate stayed at 3.9%, the lowest since the start of the pandemic in March 2020. Labour force employment expanded by 2.7% year on year and 3.4% in May 2022, the highest expansion rate ever registered, while new job creation pushed employment to a record high of 15.9 million people. According to Kenanga Investment Bank, the decline in unemployed persons is expected to continue in the coming months following the strong recovery in the labour market, mainly backed by the gradual pickup in economic and social activities, as well as ongoing government policy support. And despite its better outlook on the labour front, it maintained its cautiously optimistic outlook as downside risks persist, mainly associated with the latest development of COVID-19 in view of a potential surge of new subvariant as recorded in other countries.
Mm-hmm. So as we mentioned earlier, the Brio HR SME Employment Index seems to echo these sentiments that there is this upward trend in recruitment right now for SMEs, and we wanted to know, you know, what is the right approach to hiring as an SME right now? How do you stand out from the crowd? So we have quite the lineup today. We've got Benjamin Kroc, co-founder and CEO of Brio HR themselves, Avinash Kumar, managing director of executive search company Monroe Consulting Group, and Joel Pang, the general manager at Fast Jobs Asia, on the line with us to deep dive a little bit into the insights from the study and what it means for Malaysia's SMEs job hiring strategies. So I think we'll just jump straight into the questions here. So let's start with Benjamin first, because this is their study. So Benjamin, Brio HR study has shown a hiring increase of 6% in the second quarter of 2022 compared to the 5% growth recorded in the first quarter. What are some of the driving factors behind this increase?
Yeah, I think what is very important to take note of is that all sectors reopened in May 2022, following a long ramp up, I would say, of reopening when it comes to the international borders. So allowing for pretty much seamless travel. And as we know, tourism is a very important sector for Malaysia, representing 3.5 million jobs. So it's really significant. So the natural reasons why after 2 years of pandemic, jobs are recovering, employment is recovering, and hopefully we will continue to see that in the second half of 2022, which seems to be the case again in terms of how SMEs feel about their growth prospects and their hiring prospects.
Mm-hmm. And then how about you, Avinash?
It's not surprising to see the increase in hiring, especially in the second quarter compared to the first quarter. And this can be tied down to a number of factors, mainly starting from the economic rebound and the attraction of foreign direct investments and approved investments into Malaysia. This has also created an emergence of startups and new companies within the Malaysian landscape who have begun hiring aggressively as well. Aside from that, we also see digital transformation has resulted in companies creating new positions and having to build new ecosystems within their existing work structure. Apart from that, international borders being open has also allowed companies to expand the operations and also for more foreign hirings. And this has also has resulted in rebound of some of the sectors such as tourism, hospitality, which sectors that were not actively hiring before. We also see remote and the new remote working and the new work model has allowed companies to be more flexible in hiring. And finally, we see that the increase of cost of living is also resulting in more job movements, which is also a direct influence on the hiring trends. There may be some movement among candidates looking to increase their salary in light of the rise in the cost of living itself.
Mm-hmm. Joel, what are your thoughts?
So, Christine, just like what you mentioned about the pandemic, you know, economic rebound, I think that there's a lot of pent-up demand that is definitely returning and flourishing the Malaysian economy. And that comes from both domestic pent-up demand as well as because of the international borders recovering. And I think we often read about how a lot of Singaporeans are returning to Malaysia as well. And if you think about it, there is a lot of, you know, increased demand for goods and services. So we are talking about, you know, sectors like F&B and retail just flourishing once again because of this return to a post-pandemic kind of era. And at the same time, we are also starting to see how, because for fast jobs, we deal with job seekers in the more operational as well as customer-facing sectors. So we are actually seeing quite a lot of our employers who are now returning to the two shifts workday rather than what it used to be, which is just a one-day shift. So we are talking about, you know, just an increase in the number of shifts and hours that that they are looking for job seekers to fulfill at the moment. And I think that that definitely drives a lot of the increase in hiring.
All right. Joel, you know, with many people losing their jobs during the pandemic, how do these numbers reflect the reality on the ground when it comes to people finding employment?
That's a great question. So I think that people are often looking at how people are finding employment in terms of number of vacancies and hiring and how many, you know, job seekers they are still looking for jobs. But the job seeking process actually oftentimes involves a matching where job seekers are also looking at jobs that are currently able to fulfill their job seeking requirements. And a big part of that has actually centered around their need for flexibility and also the proximity of their workplace to where they live. Because I think how the pandemic has also shifted job seeking behaviors is that a lot of the caregiving duties and a lot of what the family unit requires has shifted dramatically because of the pandemic. So what we have actually started seeing is that it's no longer as straightforward as vacancies, job seekers, right, and then a job seeking a job match happens. We're actually seeing job seekers being a lot more intentional in terms of finding jobs and accepting job offers that actually meet their requirement of flexibility and, you know, work from home arrangements.
Right.
And on the employer side as well, who still need their shifts and that are to be fulfilled and the operational needs to be fulfilled, are also starting to rely a lot more on freelancers or what we call the gig workers,
right,
to ensure that their operations are still being operational needs are still being met.
Okay, thanks, Joel. What are your thoughts, Benjamin?
Since March 2020, when really the COVID started to hit, around 100,000 Malaysians lost their jobs as per the Ministry of Resources, and the hardest hit were really, like, again, the tourism, hospitality, aviation, basically mostly services sectors. But now that all has reopened, SMEs can really grow their teams again. And actually, the actual problems now is more about hiring being difficult for those SMEs because of many factors that we might talk about afterwards. But in terms of the employee expectations, in terms of everybody being hiring at the same time or re-ramping up hiring at the same time. So actually, the potential for people to find jobs and to find interesting jobs is clearly there. It's more now the companies who will have really to have a compelling hiring process, but also value proposition.
All right. Well, it is time for us to take a short break. But of course, to everyone, do stay on the line. We are talking about BioHR's employment index today, and we're speaking to Benjamin Kraut, co-founder and CEO of BioHR, Avinash Kumar, managing director of executive search company Monroe Consulting Group, and Joel Pang, general manager at Fast Jobs Asia. And we will be taking a little break, but we will leave you for a little bit with "The World Has Turned and Left Me Here" by Weezer on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Brave, free Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're tuned in to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Today we're talking about the BioHR Employment Index. And you can, of course, take part in the conversation by messaging us on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, which someone has in fact done. This comes from Johnny on WhatsApp, who says, morning BFM, well technically afternoon, but okay, will SMEs be hiring talents who are 60 years old and up? I think Joel, I would love for you to share your opinion on that.
So yeah, I think that right now we are moving into what we call a knowledge economy. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you know, I think being of a certain age, what that also means is that you come with more experience as well as knowledge. And I think that moving into what we call the IR 4.0, if you do have digital skill sets and also, you know, the adaptability to help companies to transform, to adapt to the current, you know, technology-driven future, definitely I think that there are still a lot of opportunities in today's hiring economy.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Well, as I mentioned earlier, people who would like to ask questions, get in touch with us, you can absolutely do that as well. So let's move on to the next question that we have for everyone. Actually, Joel, let's get you on this. So at the moment, I think you touched on this a little bit before the break, but what are some of the industries that SMEs are actively recruiting in, and what has fueled this demand?
So that's a great question. The way we look at the demand in hiring over at Fast Jobs, there are actually five key sectors that we have seen a huge, you know, rebound in job opportunities, and that is in the area of F&B and retail, yeah. I was sharing earlier, due to the economic rebound. And there's also a lot of opportunities that have sprung up in logistics and warehousing, which is mainly due to the rise in e-commerce, especially during the MCO period, which we all hope to put behind us. And of course, and also in manufacturing, where actually we have seen an increase, a steady increase in manufacturing jobs, even during the pandemic period itself. And of course, we're also talking about professional services. So, you know, jobs in the call centers, in customer service, in admin and clerical roles. And we have actually seen a rebound of not just, you know, a few percentage points. We have actually seen jobs in F&B, for example, return 3x what it used to be the same time last year.
Mm-hmm, I see. And Benjamin, from your findings in the report, what is your take on this?
So we see the recovery pretty much across every sector, but I would say that the manufacturing and services sectors really continued to show record growth. So, of course, this is fueling demand for talent. The growth in the number of employed people in the services sector persisted largely in food and beverage services, so wholesale and retail trade, as well as transportation and storage activities. So logistics as well remain extremely resilient. In terms of the main roles, I would say in data in demand right now, we could think about customer service professionals, sales, marketing, production. So, you know, every role that is naturally tied to a reopening and the restarting, I would say, of the economy. One very, long-term in-demand skill, which is here to stay, is in the IT, information technology space. All those digital-related, be it software development and everything, roles continue to show an exceptional level of demand.
Mm-hmm. And Avinash, is this reflected for you as well?
There are a number of industries that we do see within the SME landscape that are currently recruiting highly due to the growth they see within the sectors. The first that we see includes the e-commerce sector. This is largely due to the growing consumer and online buying trends within the region itself. This has also created a opportunity for the logistics services sector, where we see more emergence of companies within the space. Aside from that, companies that are within the digital landscape, such as digital marketing, advertising, digital transformation services, and tech-enabled companies are also seeing a high demand and growth in terms of the talent that they tend to hire. And of course, Malaysia being a high manufacturing or a heavy manufacturing base in the companies, we see many companies within the manufacturing and services space are also growing. Now, what has been fueling these demands includes the high business and growth opportunities in this space, both locally and globally. Asia is also becoming a key market for the mentioned sectors with the continuation of the global supply chain and also the shift towards a more digital economy.
All right. You know, Benjamin, with SMEs having to compete with each other to hire the best talents, what can companies do to differentiate themselves when it comes to attracting the right people?
The few aspects that we see coming up a lot are fairly, I would say, natural again. And in the larger scheme, actually, it's reflected as well. We are talking about flexibility. COVID has shown people that there are different ways to work. And I'm not talking only about flexibility, you know, working from home or from the office, because for some industries, working from home is not always possible. Yet, flexibility is a major shift, which also translates to more autonomy and trust. No shifting for FaceTime to I trust the job will get done, which is not easy, of course, to in terms of company cultures and so on to make evolve. But the best employees are requiring it and actually are delivering on it. Then, of course, there is the constant development of skills. Employees really want to make sure they have options throughout their life. So even if they were themselves a bit passive, maybe some instances before, now there is an active thought process, thinking, how do I develop myself so that I protect my future in case there is another crisis of this sort? The third one is more what the general thing that the companies need to look at in terms of culture, in terms of, again, career options and progressions. It's even more important for companies to keep the strong people by, again, providing those options, this career progression. Finally, as much as possible, providing job safety or visibility over the job safety, like, what will happen in case there is a crisis? Do we have your back? And employees are looking a lot for visibility as well.
Avinash, your thoughts?
It's no doubt that the talent competition has been the highest that we've ever seen in the past few years. Then this has definitely forced companies to be more innovative when it comes to attracting the right talents. So some of the things that we've seen companies doing or that we would advise is firstly, revise the compensation and benefit package. This extends far beyond salary increases, which are also being reevaluated by organization. Consider innovative ways you can compensate employees, such as through food delivery services, childcare services, flexi benefits, and etc. Aside from that, make your interview and onboarding process more efficient and prompt. In a fast-moving market, a great way to set your organization apart is to provide a seamless onboarding and recruitment experience. Invest in building a sticky workplace and foster a sense of community. Candidates are attracted when they see pictures or they see videos of how the employees interact within the organization out there. Market the vision of the business and where the business wants to be in years to come. Employees these days are also looking to be part of a company that has a long-term growing plans. And finally, working with external partners such as recruitment firms and all, because they play or we play a big part in the brand advocacy for the companies itself.
Right. And what do you think, Joel?
Yeah, so I'll say that how you can actually stand out right now, if you as an employer who's still hiring, if you think about the period, you know, the 1.5 to 2 years that a lot of these job seekers or Malaysians or the world has just came up off, what job seekers they are looking for and they are gravitating towards is really around the concepts of hope and stability. Mm-hmm. And it is about how employers can provide hope and stability for the kind of job seekers and employees that they are going to be inviting to their organization. And that can take the form of, showing that there's still consistent innovation and progress in your company, and also building a culture and work environment that is friendly, that's all-encompassing, and that there is team unity and, a sense of belonging. I think that is also what will provide that hope and stability that people are working for. And at the same time, I think for jobs that unfortunately, are not able to go remote yet, so things like, your cashiers, your store assistants, your servers, your waiters, cashiers, I think that this is where employers can also offer that sense of flexibility by starting to build a hybrid, workforce. So in addition to fast jobs, right now we also have fast gig, where we are actually catering to the fact that flexibility is being required and requested for by job seekers more and more often. And in fact, come 1st of September, we are going to start seeing a lot of employers move, even for the non-executive workforce, to move them from a 6-day to 5-day work week. And what that also means is that there's going to be an increase in demand for freelancers who are able to still offer, the remaining 2, 3, or 4 days a week that they have available to be a part of the workforce, to be a part of helping employers to meet their operational needs as well. And I think that this is really a great way to think about, even as an employer, and you don't have, your jobs are not yet able to go remote, how do you still offer the element of flexibility for your workforce? And I think lastly, it is also about thinking about, the interview process, and even how you can use the interview and onboarding process to showcase yourself as an equal opportunities employer. And I think just one case in point is when we talk about, bringing or inviting women to come back into the workforce, I think it's really just to look at this idea of the pandemic year gap, and to even, not discount 50% of the workforce are women who are looking to come back to the workforce after maybe taking half a year and a half out of the workforce to take care of things back home or take care of the families during the pandemic, and to really just consider what are the skill sets that they can bring to the table, and what is the value that they can still contribute to your organization, and to incorporate these elements into the interview process itself. And that, I think, will really allow you to stand out as an employer that's still hiring in this time.
Totally agree with that, Joel. It's time to take a short break again for a couple more messages. We have Chain of Fools by Aretha Franklin to keep you guys company during that, though. So stay tuned in. We are speaking to Benjamin Kroc, co-founder and CEO of Brow HR, Avinash Kumar, managing director of executive search company Monroe Consulting Group, and Joel Pang, general manager at Fast Jobs Asia. So do stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Boosting female ministers. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Christine Wong. I am with
Frida Liu.
And today we're speaking to Benjamin Kroc, co-founder and CEO of Brow HR, Avinash Kumar, managing director of Monroe Consulting Group, and Joel Pang, general manager at Fast Jobs Asia, about the Brow HR Employment Index and what this means for SMEs and talent acquisition as a whole. So let's just jump straight in to our final couple of questions. Obviously, Malaysia has recently raised the minimum salary to 1,500 ringgit. How has this move affected the job market for job seekers? Benjamin, let's start with you.
Malaysia increased the minimum wage by 25%, right, from 1,200 ringgit to 1,500 ringgit. What's interesting to observe is that actually it just made Malaysia align with neighbors in terms of the minimum salary. It's still actually slightly below, for example, Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, roughly at the same level, but not, it's not something that is completely unreasonable, as some employer might have been shocked in the beginning, because 25% increase is actually steep. Of course, it is applicable to specific companies and employees and so on, or how the workers have been impacted, in my opinion, but it remains to be seen because it's a fairly recent change, is that maybe the job hopping for just a few more ringgits will maybe be reduced a bit, because it will kind of uniformize a bit more, I guess, what some employers will be offering.
Mm-hmm. And Joel, I mean, what do you think the effect of this minimum salary increase has had on the job market?
I think that this increase in minimum wage has definitely helped to address some of the labor market inefficiencies, and it has definitely helped to improve social welfare, really, for these low-wage workers. But, you know, I think going back to what I was sharing earlier on the forces of demand and supply, to be very honest, you know, what we have already observed since the start of the year is that employers have already started to increase their basic wages actually way past the current minimum of 1,500, simply just to make sure that they are able to hire enough, you know, of this operational customer-facing job seekers to fulfill the pent-up demand that's coming off from this economic rebound. So I'll say that this having this minimum wage being set at 1,500 is really a strong signal to the market, really, and also to the job seekers that there is a focus and that there is importance being placed on their social welfare. So.
Right. In closing, Joel, do you see SMEs hiring as a good indicator the economy is on its way to making a recovery?
So definitely, yes. I think a big part is because we are starting to see economic activity returning to Malaysia, which is why there's a corresponding increase in hiring. So definitely a strong sign. And in fact, I believe that even with this pressures of the oncoming recession and also inflation, the fact that there is still hiring, it shows a very positive and hopeful sign for the job seekers as well as the SMEs and the Malaysian economy that we are still on track, albeit a bit slower, towards, you know, a full economic recovery, and we can all look forward to that.
Mm-hmm. And Benjamin, any final closing remarks as well?
It's an absolute huge sign of optimism and something that we really need to rally behind and to help each other actually push further. SMEs are really the backbone of the Malaysian economy. They represent close to 99% of businesses in terms of the sheer number of businesses, and around 48% in terms of share of employment, and 18% in contribution to exports. So it's major part of the Malaysian economy, and that's why also it's important for us, again, at BrioHR, we always had an approach to go beyond our core service, our core platform, to provide, you know, value to the wider community, be it HR, but also the wider SME community. That's why we have released this SME employment index and so on, and seeing actually the answers and seeing the trends, actually knowing that SMEs are the backbone of the economy is extremely comforting for the future. Yet, we all know that we will have to keep hustling.
Mm-hmm. Avinash, your closing remarks.
Most certainly, especially given that the SMEs make a big percentage of our economy and GDP itself, SMEs have proved to be more agile and diligent in the adaptation process, especially after the economic recovery, in its sustainability through digitalization efforts, changing the work structure model, consideration in expanding the talent pool through gig workers, part-timers, and also investing into scalability. SMB has also been an important ground in attracting entry-level and fresh graduates, which also tend to make a huge percentage of our recent unemployed talents. So it's also good to see some of the national initiatives in supporting SMEs, such as wage subsidy programs, SME automations, and digitalization facility, high-tech facility, among others as well, all of which are critical in the growth and acceleration process in the economy recovery itself.
All right, fantastic. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much to our panelists, I suppose. Benjamin Kwok, co-founder and CEO of BrioHR, Avinash Kumar, Managing Director of Monroe Consulting Group, and Joel Pang, General Manager at Fast Jobs Asia. Do not go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 p.m. news bulletin on the Breakfast Grow replay, as the startup scene in the region continues to grow rapidly, the thirst for funding has also grown concurrently. While venture capital firms are the norm when it comes to helping startups grow, venture debt firms are also getting more recognition. One such firm, the homegrown Iris Capital, looks to fill in the local startup ecosystem and their returned prospects. Helmed by former EPF chief Dato Wan Kamaruzaman Wan Ahmad, The Breakfast Grill spoke to him about this new venture, its goals, and his outlook for the economy. On behalf of myself, Christine Wong, and Frida Liu, this has been Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9, and we shall leave you with Big Me by Foo Fighters here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.